faith, which is by far the most important element that we need in our Christian walk. It's the thing that actually connects us to grace. It's what connects us to Christ to get us to God the Father. You have to have faith. So not only is Satan trying to first not have people to have faith, what he's done cleverly is just distorted the definition of faith. So now here you are walking around with this thing that you call faith, and it has absolutely nothing to do with faith. So we're going to spend some time going over what faith is not. Some common things and where they come from, we're going to kind of touch upon those, hopefully, and to give you the understanding of, wait a minute, that's not faith. And hopefully by the end of this, you'll be able to eliminate those things that you called faith. Now, we have a whole sermon and Bible studies out there on what faith is. There's a lot more information, so we'll give a little bit here. But if you want to go into deeper understanding of it, we can definitely dive into those later. But I want you to focus to see if any of these kind of fit what you think faith is, and then readjust them. First of all, our faith is not something that is just given to us and functions without us. It's our true connection to God and protection in God that we must live through. Understand, it will be tried and tested. You get this. Look what it says in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. It kind of really sets this whole thing up. It says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. So we have this inheritance that nothing could happen to that inheritance. Absolutely. Now, if I read this wrong, I would think that means I have eternal security once I get it, right? No, no. The inheritance itself is kept in heaven for me, okay? But I have to get it. So it will never spoil. It will never go away. It will never fade. So I can't ever worry about it going away. But if I don't accept it, I don't get it. You get this? See, the way I stay protected in order to get it is where verse 5 comes in. It says, who through faith, okay, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Did you catch that? See, my faith will allow God to protect me. That's why it's called the shield of faith when we talked about the armor of God. Okay, that's my protection. Now, if I do anything else to try to stay protected, anything else to try to be saved, I miss this. It's my faith that keeps me in where I need to be. And this is why it's tested. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. He's saying, I put you through all of this stuff for a very important reason. Why? These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold. And he's using gold to let you know it's the most valuable thing you have. He's saying, which perishes even though refined by fire. So he's saying gold, even though it's refined to be pure, it's still going to go away. He's saying that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. See, if I don't have the right faith, or if I let go of my faith, I'm in trouble. So I want to make sure I have the correct faith. See, so this test is not a pass-fail to make me feel better about myself. This is, think of it as the same test as what they do on bridges and elevators. Remember, these things are carrying people. They have lives in them. So they have to go through a test to make sure that it can carry the weight it says it's going to go through. It's going to go through the storms or whatever it's going to go through. I'm talking about the bridges. Same way, it's saying, I got to make sure nothing makes you leave this faith. That's how powerful this faith is. Verse 8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And this is where people want to get a feeling. But see, think about it. If I'm not completely living by faith, my feelings are going to come from my wrong sense. See, the sense I'm supposed to live by is faith. But we keep living by our other senses, how we see, how we feel, so on and so forth. And we want to get that feeling from God, not really. There is a true, unspeakable feeling if I'm truly living by faith. And he says, why? Because for you are receiving the goal of your faith, salvation of your souls. So now, see, if you notice, faith is us focused completely on eternity with God, even though I don't deserve it. And so my life will display that. So let's look at some things that are not faith that we have distorted and made faith. First of all, faith is not a guarantee you will receive whatever you ask. Now, where that comes from is us reading the Bible incorrectly. If you remember when Satan went up against Jesus and they did the "it is written," even Satan said "it is written." But then Jesus came back and said, "yes, but it is also written." This is where we blow it. We'll take a verse to fit our agenda without checking anything else in the Bible. See, scripture not combined soundly with other scripture can be deceiving. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you received it and it will be yours." Now, the prosperity ministers love this verse, but you don't know how many people I've seen brokenhearted because of this, because then you'll have somebody come by and say, "you must not have the right type of faith," or "you must not have good faith." And they kind of leave you with that. So the faith now becomes this mysterious thing that you don't have, but they do. And you're like, "well, I don't understand it. What do I need to fix it?" And it's like no answer. God does not play games like that. Do you understand that? Okay. But you have to read on. This is where we have that relationship. We get to understand him. He also lets us know, and here's the also written, prayer must be in God's will. 1 John 5:14-15 says, "this is the confidence we have in approaching God." Okay. So in that same way of whatever I ask, it's based on this confidence. What? If we ask, watch this, ask anything according to his will. Oh, so I can't ask for those people down the street to get murdered. Of course not. That's not in his will. You get where I'm going with this. Okay. So I can't say I did that and I believe it. No, it has to be within his will. He hears us, it says. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Okay, so okay, that fits. All right, so you're saying it has to be in his will. Okay, so whatever I ask, if it's in his will, then that's great. Oh, wait, but there's another one. The purpose for asking can result in him saying no. James 4:2-3 says, "you want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." That's the first phase. We've got to ask God. We've got to ask to get it. Watch this. "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." And I'm sure there are many going, "well, yeah, that's why I asked for it." And we totally miss it. Remember, everything I'm supposed to do is to glorify God. Now, it may end up giving me pleasure, and that's great, but that's not the purpose. Purpose is always to glorify God. In fact, I don't want it, God, if it doesn't glorify you. That's what he's saying. My sole thing has to be that. You know, we're in a world today where we keep trying to please ourselves, and we even made that the will of God. So that's not faith. That guarantee of whatever you ask. God is not some genie that does your wishes and what you want. All right? That's called a spoiled child. But that's not faith. Also, faith is not something that just happens. Now, you get that group out there that, you know, they just watch situations happen and they think, "oh, it's because of my faith. Some magical thing happened and things are falling into place and stuff like that." Well, it's not how faith works also. In fact, faith is something we must choose to stay in. So this is something that we must understand and function in it. Colossians 1:22-23 says, "but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusations." So we get to verse 23 and it says, "if you do what? Continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." So he's saying, first of all, and he's actually showing a little more here that we're going to talk about a little later, that the faith is going to be based on and coming from the gospel. But he's saying, so what Christ has done, you know, how he has reconciled me to get me back with God, right? And he did it through his death and all the stuff that Christ did to get me with God. If I what? Continue in my faith. Faith isn't something I just have and then I walk around and it's floating around me and this thing is protecting me. Faith is something I must live in. I must stay in if I must continue in. Do you get this? All right. So some people think because they had faith, they said a few words, they're saved, eternally secure. I get it. I understand what they're saying. But you go more and more through the Bible, you keep seeing these things of, no, I'm responsible for staying in it. I must abide in it forever. Do you get this? And this even helps our protection. The reason why Satan gets to us, okay, is because we don't stay behind our protection. If God says, as long as you stay in that building, he can't touch you. Okay, and so I'm giving you a physical example of this. You stay in that building, he can't touch you. And you keep stepping outside the building thinking, hey, if I walk down the street, I'm still safe. Hey, if I jump in my car, I'm still safe. That's not what he said. And that's what many people do. They'll live in other ways thinking they're still in God's protection. Look what he says in 1 Peter 5:8-9. It says, be self-controlled and self and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, he's saying he's looking, they're looking for someone. And the ones that are going to be devoured are those outside of this protection. He says, resist him. How? Standing firm in the faith. That's the answer. He says, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. How do I resist them? Standing firm in the faith. You get this? Once again, it's not just something that I can go out and just live all willy-nilly and think, I'm protected because I got God, because I got faith. Faith is something you're going to consciously live in. Standing firm in the faith means I got to first know it, understand it, apply it, repeat. Firm means I'm going to go through some times where it's not going to look like, say look like, it's not going to look like it's benefiting me, but I still keep doing. Y'all catch that? See, it's when I know what God says, but I do this instead, now I'm unprotected. It might seem like it worked benefits where sight can really distort me. It might seem like it was a better option, but now I'm standing outside and here comes that line. So it's not something that just happens. It's something that I consciously must stay in and consciously know it's my true protection. Faith is not something you just claim to have. Okay? So I can't just claim faith. I can't just say, see, faith is something that I have to really have and live in. Because it's the thing that, you know, when he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that he who believes, you know what I mean? It's for he who believes will have eternal life. This is for him. Okay, to who believe. So what does it mean to believe? And this is where we get that whole combination of how faith works. James 2:14-24 says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith, watch this, save him? This whole chapter right here, it's funny how so many stay away from this, really just shows us the a very strong portion of how faith is to be used. So I don't just claim to have faith, like he says. He was like, what good will it do? He's like, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? He's saying sometimes we say stuff to people that's nice without offering the response to do it. What's the problem? He says in verse 16, if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? So in the same way, he says, verse 17, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Plain and simple. So if I claim it, but I'm not living it, I really don't have it. So I'm unprotected, and am I really a Christian? That's what he's saying. Verse 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. He's saying, go ahead, show me your faith. He was like, so you'll see my faith. And this is another thing that Christians come in. You know what I mean? You know, he's saying, I will show you my faith by what I do. So he's not saying I'm going to go brag and show it to you. He's like, you're going to watch my life and that's going to display my faith because I walk in belief. So you got these people out here and we do stuff and it doesn't come from the word of God. So do they have faith? He says, and this belief here is not the belief that we're supposed to have. He says, you believe there is one God, good, even the demons believe that. And he's saying that type of belief and just believing that there is a God is one thing. Believing in God is what we're supposed to do. He says, even the demons believe that and shudder. So, I mean, they're scared of him. They know he exists. And that's all great. And there's a lot of non-Christians who believe there is a God. And they're like, oh, man, I got to get myself right. But they're not doing it. That's why he says, you foolish man, do you want evidence that the faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? See, there was an action, because remember, faith is this total trust in God, complete trust in God. And even though he knew his blessing was coming through this son that he waited 100 years for, all of a sudden now God's saying, okay, now go get rid of him. But his total trust in God, it was like, okay, we got to go get rid of him. And he made clear, he says, you see that his faith and his actions were working together. Very important. They're working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. So he didn't just claim it. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see, a person is justified by what he does, not by faith alone. This is not now saying your works, no, because what makes works and works by faith different is the purpose. When I, through my own strength, tried to do stuff, that's me trying to do it based on wrong. When I just do what he says, even though it doesn't look like it's doing anything to fix anything, I'm just trusting in him, that's faith, works by faith. That's what we're supposed to be living by. That's what we're supposed to be displaying. That's where I have to show faith. Faith is not faith if it is not, if it is, I'm sorry, if it is, faith is not faith if it is not in God / Christ. Okay? That's a very important thing. Okay? If it's not in God, it's not faith. Colossians 2:2-5 says, my purpose is that you may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. So that's the first thing. All right. So my encouragement, my united in love to get this full understanding of God's word. This is why you got to come to church. This is why you got to demand to gain this information. Why? Because I got to get a complete understanding. In order that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. In other words, so that you may have a true relationship with Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You understand that? He says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you with fine sounding arguments. A lot of reason why people don't have faith is because they have allowed themselves to be deceived by somebody giving them something that sounds like a very desirable faith. Y'all catch this? Okay. They give you this false faith, if you will, and we follow it. We go right after it. Right? Instead of us going, hey, I got to make sure this is the true faith. Now, the more you know Christ, the more you'll understand it. All right. The more you will get it, because we have to realize where faith comes from and how faith works. Right. And if we don't know that, we're going to get it from other places and it's not going to be it. We'll label it faith, but it really won't be faith. And then we're in trouble. He said, so no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. Incredible. Very powerful. Something for all of us to have and to make sure. Now, the only way this cannot happen is to get it from the only source of true faith. He goes on to show us, for though I am absent from the body and I'm present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. How firm your faith in Christ is. It's going to be totally in him. Do you get this? It's going to be something that we totally depend on and fall within him. So there's only one source that gives us true faith. Only one source that can really give us the faith that we all need. And that's the Bible. Right? The Bible is what provides it. Romans 10, verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, right? Hearing the message. We heard this before, and we're going to hear this over and over again. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. That's why I'm saying faith in Christ or faith in God. Okay? And if I don't have this true source, I don't know where you're getting your faith from. That's why I always ask people when they tell me, well, my faith was, and they give me these weird things, where'd that come from? And they're usually this hope or this fantastical thing that comes up that doesn't come from God. Instead of us saying, well, the Bible says, that's why I'm doing this. Right? And that's why we have to make sure we're hearing his word. That's it. That's the way we get it. That's the only thing that he offers to us to get this faith instead of having all these things that we keep labeling faith. These things we keep allowing ourselves to be deceived with instead of us truly looking at and being led by faith. Y'all get this? Very important that we get this because we don't. I'm telling you right now, you're going to be living by something that you're calling faith and it's putting you in danger. It has to come from the word, hearing the message. That's why you go to church and you get the message and then make sure that word is from the word of God. Now, to end it, to understand, it's so necessary to know what faith really is because the life of faith is what identifies God's righteous ones. That's going to be the only identification that you're going to have. When he says in Hebrews 10, 37, he says, for in just a little, very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Now, unfortunately, our minds are all messed up and what we think is longer is really not, and so on and so forth. But he says very clearly, he's saying, but my righteous ones will live by faith. So key thing here, it's not just something I say I have, plus it better be the right type of thing, and I'll be living by it. That's my calling card. That's going to be my identification. And then he makes even clear, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Look what he says happens to those who shrink back. He says, but we are not of those who shrink back and are what? Destroyed. Wow. But of those who believe and are saved. Now, just in a nutshell, I hopefully gave you what most have distorted into faith and totally missed what true faith is. You want to know more of what faith is? We have it. The Bible shows us it. It really breaks it down. But if your faith falls into anything that we just read, it is not, then you must readjust your faith. Let us pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, once again, thank you, Lord, for this word, and thank you for the faith that you allow us to have. And help us, dear Lord, to keep applying and growing in our faith, dear Lord, and through faith, doing things based only on what you say and doing it your way. We ask for continual blessings on those who are struggling, those who are having hard times in the world, and we just ask you to help us to be there in faith, help us to live by faith and walk in that way to really be effective and being used by you and be effective to other people that are depending on you through us. So, dear God, as we continue to walk and continue to do what we need to, we're going to continue to do it in love and glorifying you in all that we do. And all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen.